Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst, and I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands of people are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Last time we were together here on Hope for Today, we were studying from Luke chapter 12 and verses 1 to 12. Our study was titled, The Leaven of Hypocrisy. Now, we weren't able to finish that study, so we're returning to it today. At the beginning of my teaching, I said that hypocrisy activates several fears that can lead to a life of regret. The first fear, activated by the leaven of hypocrisy, is the fear of discovery. Like the Pharisees, we have things in our lives we just don't want other people to know about. So what do? We hide behind a self-righteous facade. Now, in a few moments, we'll identify two more fears. But first, let me read our scripture text, Luke chapter 12 and verses 1 to 12. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another, Jesus began to say to his disciples, first of all, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. The next fear activated by the leaven of hypocrisy is the fear of death. Our fear of man is misplaced, and yet, like leaven, it often exerts a powerful influence in our lives and on our decision-making. All man can do is kill the body, our temporary dwelling place. Jesus said we should fear God, because he not only has the power to kill, but to cast into hell. That's an eternal destination, an eternal punishment. Jesus wanted you and me to understand the difference between these degrees of death, and then to choose wisely. Hell is a neglected subject in the wider church today, but Jesus gave us a substantial amount of teaching on the subject. He taught it was a real place of eternal torment, from which there will be no escape. It will be populated by any and all who refuse to accept the blood of Jesus as the only acceptable payment for their sin, according to John chapter 3 and verse 36. Now, because of the fear of men, Some Bible teachers have tried to say that hell is only allegorical. It's not a literal place. That goes directly against what Jesus told the disciples here and against numerous other portions of Scripture. Others have said that a loving God would never send anyone to a place of eternal torment. Well, there is a sense in which that's true. But God is not to blame for the choices people make, choices that will lead them to eternal punishment. We must never elevate our intellect or our emotions above the Word of God. God tells us in Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 that His ways and His thoughts are so much higher than ours. He speaks with authority, and we can only submit. To those who were concerned about losing their physical life, Jesus reminds them the smallest birds, which have very little value, are noticed and cared for by the Father. Furthermore, the Father is able to account for all the hairs on your head. That's incredible. So don't be afraid. You are made in God's image, and you are so much more valuable to Him than the sparrows. You and I do not need to fear physical death. Psalm 116 verse 15 reminds us that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And 1 Corinthians 15 and many other scripture portions assure us of our resurrection. So let's not let the leaven of hypocrisy activate the fear of death in our lives. Let's live openly and confidently in God's promises. The final fear activated by the leaven of hypocrisy is the fear of denial. Confess or deny. Those are the options for disciples, according to verses 8 and 9. To confess Christ means to identify with Him. There is a state or condition of oneness. This oneness will cause Christ to declare us to His Father. Confess or deny are the only options you and I have. In the Greek text, these words are polar opposites, own or disown. It's the leaven of hypocrisy that causes us to vacillate between the two. In the presence of those who agree with us, it is easy, perhaps even beneficial, to confess Christ. But what about when we're among those who are hostile to the gospel? What's our response then? Our fear of shame in the presence of God must be greater than our fear of man, or we will compromise the truth to gain man's favor. Unfortunately, we often have a greater fear of being denied by men than fear of being denied by God. Perhaps this is because one is immediate and the other is future. Jesus said in Luke 9:26 that if we're ashamed to identify with Him and His words among men, then He'll be ashamed to identify with us before the Father and the holy angels. Now, verse 10 of our text has been the subject of much controversy. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. First of all, remember it is in the context of denying and confessing. It's also in the context of making an oral defense of the gospel under persecution. Think about what Jesus said as He was dying on the cross. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. It was possible for a pious Jew, under the influence of his early training, to see Jesus as an impostor, a false Messiah. But to resist the power of the Holy Spirit demonstrated at Pentecost? That was another matter. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stated to the crowd, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that His Christ would suffer, He thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Things are different now. The Holy Spirit of the living God is here, right within us and among us. Anyone who refuses to acknowledge the validity of the Spirit's presence and activity cannot be forgiven until such a time as he does acknowledge the Spirit's presence and activity. Jesus pointed out that the disciples must depend on the Holy Spirit to give them words to speak when they were called before the authorities. To deny the Spirit would leave them defenseless before their adversaries. As a further indication of the importance of relying on the Holy Spirit, Jesus told them not to plan their defense beforehand. Now, just a note here, Jesus was not talking about their preaching. He wasn't saying that they shouldn't prepare beforehand to preach or teach. He was talking about them facing hostile authorities in the synagogue, before the magistrates, or the civil authorities. In those settings, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would give them the words they needed when they needed them. The Spirit would be there to empower them with the exact words they needed for that situation. Now, what about you, my friend? Do you have a fear of denial that causes you to quench God's Holy Spirit's working in your life? Or are you fearful about what others may say? Remember, if you want Jesus to own you before his Father, you must be willing to own him now before your fellow men. Are you afraid of death? You needn't be. Christ has set us free from the controlling influence of sin and death. Our future is secure in him. Death has lost its sting. My friend, is there hypocrisy in your life? I already admitted to you that the Lord revealed some areas of hypocrisy in my life. If there are things in our lives that we are trying to hide from other people, isn't that evidence of hypocrisy? After all, God knows all about us. He knows not only our actions, but the motives behind them. Yet somehow we have the mistaken notion that we can hide things from him. How foolish of us to think and act that way. Friend, I encourage you to face your fears, the things that motivate hypocrisy in your life. Talk to God about them. He understands. Then find another brother or sister you can trust and share your fears with them. Ask them to pray with you and for you. Remember the words of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. My friend, Jesus' warning to beware the leaven of hypocrisy is just as needed today as when he gave it to the disciples. How will you respond to his warning? My friend, were you blessed by this study? If you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Leaven of Hypocrisy. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Leaven of Hypocrisy. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Leaven of Hypocrisy. It's available on audio CD or in print. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week for a new study. Beware of covetousness. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.